Today we come to our 19th study in the book of 1 Samuel. And we are in 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning our study in verse 22, going through chapter 26, verse 9. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. David and his 600 men, that motley crew of his, have been out in the wilderness, living out in the wilderness, and recently they had been protecting the sheep, the flocks, of a very wealthy but very ungodly man whose name was Nabal. And it came time for David and his men to be paid for their services, and Nabal did not pay them. Instead, sent a message to David insulting him. David has had it. So he tells his men to strap on their swords, and he's headed to Nabal. David is determined to wipe out Nabal and his entire household. And with that in mind, let's begin reading in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 25. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also, do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any male." When David killed Goliath, he was doing God's work. But this is personal vengeance. What he plans on doing to Nabal and his household is sin. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, now remember from last time, Abigail is a godly woman married to that ungodly man, Nabal. And she found out about David's plan to come and wipe out Nabal, her husband, and the entire household. So she's going to meet David to try to talk him out of it. And it says, when Abigail saw David, she hastened and alighted from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. If David is not merciful, it is all over. And Abigail knows it. Consequently, she humbles herself before David. She bows to the ground before him. It's her only chance. And she knows it. And every lost soul needs to have the same attitude of Abigail before Almighty God. There's only one hope for any of us. Fall on our face, plead to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. If we don't get that, it is hell for each one of us. Verse 24. It says, and she fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy hearing, and hear the words of thine handmaid." What a woman she is. She is willing to be blamed for her husband's sinful actions. "Upon me, let this blame be," she says. She would rather die herself than see the innocent people of her household die. She is willing to lose it all for the good of others. She is very Christ-like in that, because that is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He was willing and he did lose it all for the good of others. It's just too bad that so often it's just the opposite with people. Often people say, "I want what I want," no matter what it may do to others. Abigail and Jesus had the attitude, "I want what is good for you, no matter what it might do for me." That's being like Christ. And she continues talking to David in verse 25. "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow," talking about her husband, "even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send." She's saying, "David, do not even think about my worthless husband. Do not regard him. He's not worth thinking about. Consider the source. And it is true, some people are not worth thinking about. Moral reprobates like Nabal, who say foolish things, do foolish things, don't care about God. They should be ignored as much as possible. They are too foolish to matter. Verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withheld thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil against my Lord, be as Nabal. And she says in verse 27, and now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men who follow my Lord. Abigail is trying desperately to dig her household out of the pit that her sinful husband put them into. She is scrambling to save her household from the mess that her husband caused. And he just continues to do that kind of foolish stuff. And sometimes people spend a good part of their life trying to get themselves and their family out of the trouble that ungodly people have got them into. And it's too bad, but that is often the case. And if those ungodly people are still causing trouble after a long period of time, they need to either repent or get out of the way. Verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. She's asking David to forgive her boldness, but she is reminding him that his kingdom, that is, his dynasty, will never end. And she doesn't want him to mar it by murdering Nabal. And she is right. His kingdom will never end, because Jesus Christ, according to his human nature, is of the descendant of David and rightful heir to the throne of Israel and the king of the world forever. David's dynasty will never end through Jesus Christ. 29. Excuse me. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life, which the Lord thy God and the souls, or excuse me, with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. She knows, Abigail knows Saul is hunting David. And if you have been with us for previous messages, you know that King Saul has been hunting David down out of jealousy. That's why he's in the wilderness. So it seems like that's pretty much common knowledge. Saul is hunting David. But she says, David, you are as safe as if you were zipped up inside of God's backpack. She says, David, your enemies are going to disappear like stones from a sling. And that's not just true for David. When we belong to Jesus Christ, he puts us in his backpack and zips us up, as it were. Even in times of trouble, he keeps us real close to him, and we're going to be okay as long as we stay close to Christ. Verse 30. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done for my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. In other words, David, she says, if you go through with this, you wipe Nabal and his household out, if you go through with this, then you're going to have a guilty conscience. You're going to have the guilty conscience of a murderer, even after God has made you king is going to stick with you. God's people must be careful not to say or do something sinful while they're angry. If they do, then, after things are normal again, things calm down, they're going to have a guilty conscience to deal with and the consequences of sinful anger. Satisfying our sinful passions may feel good at the time, but when everything is over, a Christian will feel dirty and guilty and full of regret for not restraining themselves. She's trying to talk David into restraining himself. She's a good woman. Verse 32, and David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. David recognizes that Abigail and her message is a gift from God to him. And those who have the courage to keep us from sin are a gift from God to us. Whether we realize it or not, they are. And a person may be frustrated, and they may want to sin so bad that they may say, I don't care what you say is right, I'm going to do it. A person may want to sin so bad, may be so frustrated, they may even feel anger toward the one who's trying to restrain them from sin. But if they are wise enough to hold off, they will one day thank God for that person who stopped them from sinning. David recognizes that about Abigail, and he's already thanking God for her. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, who hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. He says, Blessed be thy advice, Abigail. And the word for advice literally means taste. Having a sense of taste is not a luxury. It really isn't. Oh, it's enjoyable, but it's not a luxury. It is a necessity. Without the sense of taste, we would get very sick from eating spoiled food. I mean, I poured myself a big glass of milk yesterday, and the date for it to be expired on the carton was still 10 days away. And I poured myself a big glass of milk, and I took a big drink, and I just about spit it out, and I should have probably, because it was sour. But my sense of taste kept me from drinking the rest of it and probably really getting sick. Discernment, spiritual discernment, is spiritual taste. Without it, we would find ourselves in big trouble for making ungodly choices. The kind of spiritual discernment that Abigail had comes from spending time with God. The more of God's word we put in us, the more accurate our spiritual taste buds will be, and the easier it'll be for us to keep ourselves out of trouble. 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, who hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any male child. Any male. He was going to wipe everybody out, David was. But God kept David from exploding, and he used Abigail to do it. Having a bad temper is not a psychological problem. It is a spiritual problem. It is a sin. It is a sin that God can give us victory over. The answer to sinful anger isn't 10 trips to the psychologist. It is not taking a pillow, pretending it is the person that you hate, and beating the stuffing out of it. The answer to sinful anger is to draw close to God through the Word of God, through prayer, and through praise. If we draw close to God, He says He will draw close to us. And if God is close to us, We won't even think about exploding with sinful anger, because we're going to be in the presence of God. 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said to her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person." David was moved by her humility, and he was pleased with her gift, so he decided not to go through with his plan. And like the humility and gift of Abigail satisfied David's wrath, Jesus Christ on the cross satisfied the wrath of God, which was against us. Now we, like Abigail, can have peace with God, just like Abigail and her household can have peace with David because of her humility and her offering. You and I can have peace with God because of Jesus' offering on our behalf. Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. That doesn't pay to talk to a drunk. Their brains are scrambled. If the answer doesn't come from their heart, can't really believe anything they say. Abigail had something very important to say to her husband, but it didn't pay to talk to her husband while he was drunk, so she's going to wait. And she did. Verse 37, but it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Nabal had a stroke when he found out how close he came to being killed. Tough guys are pretty tough about their sin until the Lord brings down the hammer. Then they're not so tough anymore. And one day every so-called tough guy who thinks they're too cool to repent will cry out in terror and look for a place to hide from Christ as he returns to judge. The Bible says they will scream out for the rocks and the hills to fall on them and to hide them from Jesus. 38, and it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. Nabal's stroke was a natural consequence of his sin. Nabal's death 10 days later came from the hand of Almighty God. Much of the bad that happens to non-repenting sinners is just a natural consequence to the unnatural behavior called sin. Nabal's death was God's judgment on him and an act of mercy toward his wife Abigail, because you know what? She doesn't have to be married to the jerk anymore. Good for her. Verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." It took 10 days, but God delivered justice to Nabal on behalf of himself and David. In the last part of verse 39, and David sent and talked with Abigail to take her in marriage. Abigail loved God. That was clear to David. And that is what a man like David looks for in a woman. Someone who loves God. Consequently, he wasted no time. He asked her to marry him. The only way anyone is going to attract a godly person to marry them is for them to be God-focused themselves. If a single person puts God first, and marriage is meant to be, God will send them the right person. But it all begins with the God focus. 40. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him in marriage. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. She humbly accepts. It's interesting that David had the courage to go up against a 9-foot-9-inch giant by the name of Goliath with a slingshot. He had the courage to do that. He had the courage to lead the armies of Israel out in war against superior forces of the Philistines. He had the courage to do that. But he had to send messengers to ask Abigail to marry him. Very strange how that works. A normally courageous guy will sometimes just be petrified to talk to a woman, either in person or on the phone, that he has feelings for. We're very weird how that works. Verse 41, And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. God gave Abigail and David to each other as a gift. And they could not wait to accept that gift from God, the gift of each other. And now they both have someone who really loves God. And they will be good for each other because of that. 42. Then Abigail hastened and arose and rode upon a donkey with 5 damsels of hers who went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. Abigail got ready in a hurry. She couldn't wait. And that's not always easy for a lady to do because they have so much extra stuff to do, at least these days. But she did it, and she did it in a hurry, because she wanted this new life with a decent man who feared God like she did. Chapter 26, verse 1. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Now, remember, Saul had been in a good frame of mind toward David recently. But here, the Ziphites come and they stir Saul up again by just mentioning the name David. And it didn't take much to stir Saul up concerning David. And our souls, because they are sinful, are sort of like gasoline. And all they need is just a little spark of temptation to flare up and sometimes explode. Verse 2. Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And so Saul's right back at it, isn't he? Like a washed pig that returns to its mud hole, like a dog that returns to its vomit, Saul is back where he feels comfortable, living in sin and chasing David. Some people drop bad habits for a while, or maybe turn over a new leaf for a while, but if they never really repent and never really receive Jesus Christ, they don't get a new heart. They're not born again, and they're not changed on the inside. And so they eventually go back to an immoral life of one sort or another. And you see that in Saul. 34. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. And David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. David sent spies to see if it was true that Saul was actually chasing him again. I don't think he could believe that Saul was doing it because, number one, the territory that David was in was unknown to Saul, which made this mission of Saul's reckless. Plus, Saul told David that he wouldn't chase him anymore. But sure enough, David double checks, and David's, you know, he's in trouble. Saul's on his trail once again. Verse 5. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people encamped around about him. Now, watch this. Saul and his top soldier, Abner, were right in the middle of the army camp. They were surrounded. Saul was surrounded by 3,000 of his loyal soldiers. David snuck deep into that camp in order to see where Saul was sleeping. Look at it, verse 6. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul was lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his head, but Abner and the people lay round about him. When Saul went to bed that night, he probably thought, well, it's safe for me to go to sleep. I'm safe. After all, my whole army surrounds me. I'm safe as can be. But just look at what can happen when God allows it to happen. David and his top soldiers sneak right through that camp, and they're standing right next to the sleeping Saul. Security? There is no security outside the will of God. There is no security when one does not belong to Jesus Christ. Because the next breath an ungodly person takes could be their last one, and they could find themselves in hellfire forever. Verse 8, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. And I will smite him. I will not smite him a second time. And so, David's top soldier here, his top army leader, he says, Saul is your enemy, David. Look, we are standing right next to your enemy, and he is sound asleep, and there's a spear right here. I'll kill him for you, David. It is God's will for your enemy to be dead, David. You can get out of these caves, David. You can live in a nice house. And that all sounds real good, doesn't it? There's just one minor problem. God did not tell David to kill Saul. And David lives by faith. And to live by faith, you need a word from God. And he doesn't have a word from God saying, go ahead and kill Saul. And so verse 9, David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? It may have been tempting, but David would not kill God's anointed king. Common sense can make a pretty good guide, but not all by itself. That's because sometimes it makes more sense on the surface to do something unbiblical than it does to follow the Word of God. On the surface, it sometimes seems to make more sense. But in the long run, that would be a mistake. Common sense, directed by the Word of God, is the thing that should lead us. We'll pick up our study right here next time. Until then, so long, everyone.